This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-50 all-wheel drive, only $249 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SN316458. MSRP 32295 and 33125.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the dress collar polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag and it will remain wrinkle free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
Right now, we bring to you Dallas Stars TV host and analyst, Emmy Award winner, and the man who knows everything about hockey.
It's true.
It is Brian Ray. Good morning, sir.
I love looking at my X feed right now, and I see you guys putting up screenshots as I'm putting up GIFs of coming on. Like this is the hardworking journalism that's about to occur, apparently. We're just goofing around like a couple of idiots on X/Twitter. Depending on what you're calling it at this point.
Okay, well, with that in mind, I will ask you perhaps a little bit of a nonsense question. The other day, the Seattle Kraken scored a goal in 4 seconds in overtime. If you're the other team, how do you give up a goal in overtime in 4 seconds?
Maybe it's better that it wasn't three. You know what's
good point.
What's the scene from the movie Tin Cup when he's harassing Kevin Costner about missing the birdie putt and he's like, well, or how he finished with like an 82 or something? He's like, well, I missed a birdie putt on 18 from however many feet, so I finished with an 82 instead of an 81. That's how I ended up at an 82. That's the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah. I believe it was the fastest overtime goal in the history of the NHL. Yeah. Like, that's tough.
You know what? I was, to answer your question seriously, I was just listening to another podcast this morning about this, and they were talking about that, and the two broadcasters were describing the play and what was coming up. It was a really good scouting setup from Seattle, because I believe it was Montreal they were playing. Montreal had their top goal scorer sitting on the bench in the event that Montreal won the faceoff and got possession. He would have immediately hopped on and they would have been off and running. So I think Seattle, essentially, to go football terms on you, they jumped the route or they jumped the snap count and caught Montreal on their heels, which turned into a 4 second goal.
Now, we talk a lot on the station about frustration with the Cowboys. Clearly, everyone in the Metroplex is still mad at the Mavericks. And the Stars have been rocking along, having a tremendous season. You can make a really strong argument. They're the best team in the NHL. Do you think frustration with the Mavs or the Cowboys is leading to more folks getting into the Stars?
I'm not going to go that far, and I'm a sports fan in general. So obviously, when I saw the Luka trade, I was just as shocked as other DFW sports fans. But I'm also so locked into hockey that I am not fully entrenched in what's going on in Mavs world. I would say this for the Stars specifically. I think the Four Nations tournament kind of did a little captivation and maybe some reinvigorating of the casual sports fan or casual hockey fan. And the fact that it's sort of streamlined right into this final 20-game run with the Stars team that is essentially top five in the NHL, I think that stokes the fires a little bit. I also think when the Stars make the splash trade for Mikko Rantanen, now you're adding a little bit of an accelerant to that fire that's been stoked. And
okay.
Yeah. Now the Luka trade and the negative reaction, or certainly the hurt emotions from sports fans around this place. Yeah, maybe they said, you know what, I'm frustrated with one team. I'll pay attention to the other team right now. Oh, wow, look at that. They're actually doing pretty well. I don't think there's any one thing that specifically ties to what could have happened with the Mavs or what could have happened with the Cowboys or even the Rangers having a down year, but they certainly look like they're ready to bounce back. But I do think if you're a casual sports fan, yeah, sports is an escape. You're looking for some fun. You're looking for some success. You're looking to feel good about yourself, your city, and your team, because that's the whole point of escaping from a 9-to-5 reality. And sure, you could argue right now the Stars could be the current best escape because they are going to make a Stanley Cup run. They have certainly put their chips all in to do whatever they can to try and chase a Stanley Cup. May not work out. You know, we all may get our hearts broken in a month and a half, 2 months from now, because that's just what sports does to us. But if I'm a sports fan, I want my team to push all the chips in when they have a real opportunity to. You have to be calculated. You have to be patient. But there does come a time for each franchise where you do kind of have that crossroads. Are we taking a swing for the fence? We don't want the two-run double. We're swinging for the fence. And Jim Nill decided I'm swinging for the fence this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was telling Kevin the Granlund goal over the weekend was the one that made me realize how great Mikko is, because he's standing in front of the net and he has two defenders all over him and Granlund's wide open. Maybe the greatest dive shot I've ever seen in my life. But that is what is going to happen whenever you add an elite scorer like that. It must have, for the guys around the hockey world and the guys in the Stars world, must have been a big fist pump whenever that Rantanen deal went down.
It's from my experience, when teams have really good seasons, I think it's important for GMs to reward that team. To say you guys have earned the right to get an additional tool, an additional club put in your bag to try and chase a championship. And I, you know, Jim Nill mentioned that when he acquired Mikhail Granlund and Cody Ceci, that was the first reward of you guys have managed these injuries, this schedule, the Finland trip, you know, the Four Nations, all this stuff. You've managed it so well. You deserve a little bit of relief to come in to try and alleviate things. Then when the Mikko Rantanen thing happened, how do you not send that message to your room of, let's do it? This is, I want to go for it. I'm giving you every tool I can find. I want you guys to go for it. And I don't know if this is hand in hand, but when I was in the locker room yesterday after they finished practice and before they left for the plane, the room was a little testy, but in a good way. Like, I was chatting with Jake Oettinger, and Matt Duchene just started barking at him to get his pads out of his way. And then, you know, Casey DeSmith, they were talking about the Minnesota Vikings, and Casey DeSmith started barking across the room at Oettinger and Duchene, and then they started throwing shade at the Green Bay Packers. And I'm like, okay, you guys are all barking at each other and chirping right now, but this, I think that there's a little attitude in this room right now, because I think they are excited to go play this game tonight in Winnipeg, and they are excited for the opportunity that has been presented in front of them. So all of this, I think you could argue, is the trickle-down effect of getting a high-end superstar player and signing him to an 8-year extension to put him in place of, this guy is going to be a part of our core for the next 8 years. I do think there is call it a renewed confidence, a renewed swagger, which a lot of the teams at the top of the NHL are feeling right now. But I think there is a renewed excitement in the room to, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel that playoffs are coming.
Now, one of the other things over the weekend on the broadcast, I heard them mention...
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
And Rantanen's used to playing more of a percentage. They kept saying Dallas has four lines. In my mind, I was like, does every other team only play with three lines? I've never seen this before. But then I started thinking, it's like, it feels like that means that Dallas has four lines that they're definitely confident in. So that might mean Rantanen doesn't play as much as he's used on teams that only have three lines that they care about. Am I right? Am I going right on this in the right direction there?
Yeah, you are. It's a little bit of style of play, and it's part necessity. So let's start with the Dallas Stars side of things. Peter DeBoer's philosophy is he always wants to roll four lines. That's the buzz quote you will always hear. And if you're rolling four lines consistently, it means two things. One, you consistently have momentum and you're pushing back on the other team. And two, you're limiting the minutes that every other line is skating on the ice. So you're not overtaxing one set of your forward lines. And it's the same thing with your defensive pairs. In Mikko Rantanen's case, when he was playing in Colorado, they have been so top-heavy since they last won the Stanley Cup a few years ago that Mikko Rantanen would consistently be playing 22 to 27 minutes a night, given the situation. If Colorado was down in the third period, well, they were just rolling out that top line every other shift because that was their heavy artillery to try and come back in a hockey game. Now that Mikko Rantanen comes here, he doesn't have to do that. In theory, he doesn't have to do that. He can do that. You know, the other night when Roope Hintz got injured, Mikko Rantanen was the one that was essentially getting double shifted and playing on not one, but maybe one or two lines, because he does have that in his DNA. He's used to playing extra minutes like that. But it's sort of, if you reduce the minutes over the course of an 82-game regular season, then those players are going to be fresher for the playoffs. It's almost like load management, but without it being load management in a way. So that's what rolling four lines means. If you can consistently spread minutes across your four forward lines, you're not overtaxing somebody over the long haul as you get to the latter part of the season and into the playoffs.
Can y'all agree then that he can be not like one of those?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're talking with Brian Ray right here on 105.3 The Fan. My next question was going to be, I know there's time, but if the Stars are going to win the Central, they need to get 2 points, preferably in regulation, tonight, right?
Yeah, so I think the Stars have two games left head-to-head with the Winnipeg Jets. I think they need to win both. Preferably in regulation. That puts 4 points in your bag. They're 8 points back. All right, so let's do a little math here. If you win those two games in regulation, you just took 4 points back from Winnipeg. They also have two games in hand entering tonight. Winnipeg's played two more games. If you win those two games in hand in regulation, you get those 4 points back, and now you close the gap. But something that I always do when you get to about 20 games left in the season, and that's where we are, Winnipeg is 8 points ahead of Dallas. That's 4 wins in the standings. So for the rest of the season, Dallas has to play essentially a 4-win pace ahead of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
If Winnipeg goes 10-10, Dallas has to win 14-6. If Winnipeg goes 12-8, Dallas has to go 16-4. And as good as Winnipeg has been, this is where it gets difficult the deeper you get in the season. The games in hand and the head-to-head matchups can really swing things, but Dallas essentially has to play at a 4-win pace ahead of Winnipeg for this final quarter of the season. That's how I've always looked at it in terms of a standings picture and when you're chasing teams in front of you.
Is this about as full of a toolbox as DeBoer's ever had with this Stars team?
Yeah, I will admit the one question mark I have for Dallas is the blue line. I thought before Miro Heiskanen was injured, they still needed to go get another defenseman, preferably top four. And Jim Neal told us after they took care of business on the trade deadline, they put Miro Heiskanen on LTIR during the trade deadline, almost preemptively, in case there was another move out there that they wanted to make. That tells me, speculating a little bit, that Jim Neal was poking around outside of the Rantanen deal at something else that might have been out there, and it just simply never came to fruition. So the blue line, I think it's a fair question mark to ask, given how top heavy the Western Conference is.
Yeah.
You know, between Winnipeg, Vegas, Dallas, and Colorado, all four of those teams are they've got a legitimate claim to the throne out of the Western Conference side of things. So that's the one question mark for me. But yeah, this does look like the deepest Dallas team top to bottom that we've seen in the DeBoer era. And this is not including Tyler Seguin or Miro Heiskanen potentially returning near the end of the regular season into playoffs. We don't know, one, if, two, when, and three, where are they going to be at in terms of playing level, because they're coming off major long-term injuries. Those are three major question marks, but also it's hard to not salivate a little bit at the potential that could occur if those two are able to come back and make this team even deeper.
Now, I think I can guess the answer to this question, but I want to try a hypothetical. Mm. If you could never win an Emmy again and had to give up the Emmy or Emmys that you already have, but it means the Stars win the Cup this season,
I think this is easy. You
taking that deal?
Every time I come on this show, you guys do this to me.
He gives you very difficult. Yeah, yeah.
It's brutal. It's brutal. I mean, my answer is going to be yes, obviously.
That's probably good.
But I have to get greedy with my yes.
Oh,
I want to drink out of that thing.
Heck yeah, you do.
Okay.
We all do.
Just one little baby sip. Just one little baby sip. Let me just drink out of that thing if they win it.
You know what I like that you just did? Whenever people hear these ridiculous hypotheticals, they're not always prepared with a counter.
Mm-mm.
You came to the table with a counter, so I approve your
deal.
Accept
that's a good
it.
One. I like it.
Thank you very much for jumping on with us, good sir. Always appreciate it.
Appreciate it, boys. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to be some fun hockey.
All right, excellent. Talk to you again soon.
There you go, Brian Ray right here on 105.3 The Fan, and he's right, man. This is a humongous game tonight against Winnipeg. And on the flip side, I know we talked about, like, hey, can you win both the games in regulation? And if so, get a chance to make a run at it. It feels like the opposite might be true, and you might think there's enough games to still overcome it. It feels like if you were to lose this game to Winnipeg tonight in regulation, that might mean the best you can hope for is C2.
Hey, but you know what? As we said, Kevin,
not going
to
happen.
Cooper Flagg does not need to win the ACC tournament. He needs to win the NCAA tournament.
You know what? That's a good-ass point. Thank you very much.